This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 14, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. I have some happy news for the whole wide world. In this program, we, the family of God, Trumpet of Truth, in America, in Pakistan, in Africa, in Canada, in Chile, and all over the world, are going to plant a seed that will bless this very troubled world. Amen. We are all over the world now going to have Holy Communion. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you out in cyberspace, get you some ingredients. If you have a little grapefruit juice, get it. If not, water will do. Jesus can turn the water into wine. Amen. Then get you some bread, preferably unleavened bread. If not, a cracker will do. Get those ingredients together. We've got them in here. Hold them. And when Jesus himself is going to have this Passover meal, we're going to have it with him tonight. Amen. And that means that the world will be blessed. Now, you know, this is perfect timing because in the Hebrew calendar, we are in the month of Tishri. And it's the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar. The seventh month is the perfect month. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles when the Lord comes to tabernacle with us. Guess what the Hebrew month Tishri is? October, my birth month. So this is perfect. And so we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember that Jesus told us that unless we eat his body and drink his blood, we can have no part in his kingdom. Okay. And now I want to invite every Christian in America to join me right here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, I teach the word, and then we pray fervently for America. And then I open the holy bench and offer everyone to come up one by one. The Holy Spirit is so great. According to Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit actually intercedes for me with groanings which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to Father's will for each person individually. And the Holy Spirit, severally as he will, often operates in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast, taping, internet, and SoundCloud. I am in Suntree, Florida. Now, Jesus' countenance is as bright as the sun, and Jesus is a tree of life, so we're in a good place. Jesus is here. I am right next to Scott versus the Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign. Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Excuse me. From God's heart to my heart, to your heart, the Lamb of God sings, hallelujah. The Lamb of God sings, hallelujah. Every time you say hallelujah, you're saying, hail God the Creator, Yahweh the Redeemer. So all over the world, let's say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, as our curtain opens, Jesus and his 12 disciples are going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. It was told us in Exodus 12 that when the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, God wanted to free them. So he told the children of Israel to take a lamb, the Passover lamb, kill the Passover lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and put it on the doorpost in a downward stroke and on the side post, a sign of a cross. And God says, when death sees the blood on the cross, death will pass over you. And God said, keep this forever and ever and ever. So that's why Jesus and disciples are going to do it. They're going to keep the Passover meal. And that meant that they believed that someday God was going to send the Passover, the Messiah, who would pay our sin debt. But he told us to always keep it. We still keep it because in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, the word Easter is a mistranslation. Easter is a pagan goddess of fertility, eggs quick like a bunny, sexual orgies in the grass. No. The word there in Greek and Hebrew is Passover. Now we celebrate the Passover because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. So we do this in remembrance of him. All right. The Passover, the Lamb of God, sings hallelujah. This time, though, when Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he's not going to have the feast. He's going to be the Passover Lamb.
Verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot.
Now Judas is a good name. That's a Hebrew name, Judah, okay? But Iscariot means builder of cities. Now the book of Isaiah, you're going to find that God hates cities. Cities breed crime. You stack people on top of each other, near each other, gets on each other's nerves, and they have a mess, okay? Also, in Genesis chapter 4, Cain, C-A-I-N, the first murderer, was a builder of cities. That was his occupation. Who is Cain? Cain is a child of the devil, that old serpent who beguiled, exopatio, wholly seduced Eve in the garden. Cain's descendants are Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They say they are Judas, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Look there. Jesus has got 12 disciples, and one of them is a builder of cities. One of them is the descendant of Cain, the child of the devil. But that's good news. Whosoever will may be saved. Even a Kenite can be saved.
Went unto the chief priest.
Now remember last time the chief priest phoned once they want to kill Jesus?
Verse 15. And he said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?
Now, before you get too hard on Judas, let's understand what's happening here. Judas, like all of the other 11 disciples, thought that Jesus was going to start his kingdom on earth that first time. They did not yet realize that the first time he came to die to be the Passover Lamb and save us from our sins. The second time, he'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven on earth. So, Judas had seen Jesus raise the dead, and heal the sick and cast out lepers. He had seen them almost kill Jesus, throw him off a cliff, and Jesus became invisible and lived. So Judas never thought for one time that Jesus would let anybody kill him because he knew he had power over death. What was Judas' motivation? Judas had a weakness for money. He carried the bag. He was a treasury of Jesus' money. Be careful who you let carry your bag, okay? Judas wanted Jesus to hurry up and establish his kingdom on earth so that Judas could be the world banker, secretary of the bank. Judas thought that if he got Jesus in a corner and they started to kill Jesus, that Jesus would say, no, and he would start his kingdom there. And then Judas could be the world banker. See, that was his motivation. It never occurred to him that Jesus was going to actually die. Let's don't be too hard on Judas. He repented. What do you have to do to get saved? Repent.
And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver.
They made a contract for 30 pieces of silver. In Bible times, the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. Of course, Jesus came to set us free. But you see, every one of us, every human being, when we're born into this sin, this world, we're born with a nature of sin. We are in captivity to sin. We are dead in trespasses of sin. We're slaves of sins. So Jesus, on that cross, would take our sins. He would take our slavery to sins and nail them to the cross. Jesus would become a slave, 30 pieces of silver, so that we could be set free.
Verse 16. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him.
He was trying to find the right opportune time.
17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Now this would be on the Hebrew calendar, the 14th of the month, Nisan. Nisan in our time is April. So this is April 14th, the actual Passover, and we should celebrate it if we would use the solar calendar, will be April 15th. So it's just before Passover, Nisan 14th, April 14th.
The disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where art thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?
What building, what room would you like for us to fix the Passover meal?
18. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at my house with my disciples.
That was predestined. That was prearranged. God already looked down the cards of time and saw a man who would understand that Jesus is the Messiah. This man, probably 35 years ago, had built himself a building and built an upper room and rented it out. He thought that was his purpose in life. No, all of that was so Jesus could have an upper room. We have an upper room. We have the bread of life here. Jesus is our Lord. The upper room already prepared. This should comfort your hearts. For those of you who are called, chosen, and elected, if you will obey and do God's will, God's got people and places already prepared for you to do and fulfill your destiny.
Amen.
19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them.
They obeyed him. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings trouble.
And they made ready the Passover.
They fixed the meal there in the upper room. It's called the Seder meal. First of all, it has unleavened bread. In other words, no yeast in it. And I have bought this. The unleavened bread has kind of crimson-colored stripes on it. Jesus is the bread of heaven. And Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, red blood stripes. The Seder meal also has the shank bone of a lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We also have bitter herbs. That was because myrrh is mine. It's bitter perfume. Emmanuel, God with us, it would be a bitter thing he would bear on the cross to pay our sin debt. But then there was the egg. Egg is resurrection. Jesus would die that we might have eternal life, and Jesus would arise from the dead. The Seder meal, they're preparing the meal.
Verse 20. Now when even was come,
Now even means at sundown. In Bible times, the next day began at sundown. So it is now Nisan 15th or April 15th. It is now the actual Passover beginning.
Sat down with the 12. 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you,
of a truth,
that one of you shall betray me. 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful.
They loved Jesus. They had had the most exciting adventure for 3 years. Lord, we wouldn't betray you. You're saying that too, aren't you? But soon and very soon, the Antichrist is coming, and God's going to call himself Christ. He's going to look like Jesus, act like him, talk like him. Two horns of a Lamb of God, but he's the voice of a dragon. All the world will call him God. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will betray Jesus and go to him thinking he's Jesus. So let's don't be too hard on the betraying people.
And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?
Lord, we know you wouldn't say that if you didn't mean it. Search my heart. See if there's any sin in me.
23. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
We learned Wednesday night that you, every human being, you are a triune being. You are three in one. Don't think that's strange. God created you, and God is three in one, the Trinity. God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach. You are a triune. You are three in one. You are, first of all, a spirit, because God is a spirit and he created you. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. The soul is you, the way you think, the way you act, and the way you feel. Your soul and your spirit are always together. And in the first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6-7, you were in a spirit body, Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Your soul and spirit were there. But now you've been sent out one time in the flesh, and now you, soul and spirit, you dwell in a body. But you're not your body. That's just your earth suit. Okay. However, most every human being and almost every Christian lets your soul yield to your body, although that's not even you, that's your envelope, more than your spirit. In other words, the body, you say, it says, I'm sick, and you say, okay. It says, I can't do it. You say, okay. It says, I'm weak. You say, okay, but you should lean to your spirit. Now, the one that dips with his hand with Jesus in the flesh is yielding to his body. Because anybody, I used to teach manners, when somebody else is dipping their bread into the dish, you don't bop them there and hit it there. You might get germs on their bread. Okay. So the betrayer is so hungry, he's thinking of his body. The body says, I'm hungry. So he's going to dip it at the same time. The betrayer, although he's a triune being, yields to the body.
24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him.
Jesus says, it was prophesied, I came to die. Isaiah 53, lamb led to the slaughter. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. He came to pay the sin debt. For the joy set before me went to the cross. Jesus said, no problem. That's okay. I plan to die. I came to die. It's all right.
But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
It would have been good for that man if he had not been born again. Born again means to be born from above. Remember Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. Ere you die, the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all there with God in our spirit bodies in the world that then was, first earth age. But because Lucifer rebelled and brought sin into the equation, Revelation 12, God gave everybody a second chance. Those who did not betray him, they had to bear forth the oracles of truth in every generation. But everybody else, he came so that you could accept Jesus or so that you could accept the devil. But, so you have to be born from above one time into this. That's what born again means. So he says it would have been better for Judas if he had just stayed there.
25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I?
What everybody had else had asked it, he had to ask it too.
And he said unto him, Thou hast said.
Precious Jesus, did you notice he did not condemn Judas? He said, I didn't say it, Judas. You said it. Jesus knew Judas' heart. He knew why he was doing this. He knew that Jesus had a weakness for money and wanted to be the world banker. He knew that Judas thought that if he put Jesus in a corner, that Jesus would start his kingdom right here. And he loved Judas. He would call him friend. And he would also know that later on, Judas would repent. He did not condemn. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
26. And as they were eating.
Okay. Now they're about to take the Passover meal. So everybody, I want you to get your bread and your juice ready. Don't take it yet. Now Paul tells us in Corinthians that if you take the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, his body and blood, the bread and the juice, unworthily, you could get sick or die. Well, none of us is worthy. So first of all, anyone who's not saved, please do not take this now. Later on the program, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation. So this is the body of Jesus and the blood is only for Christians, but Christians sin. So I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be sick. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for all of you all over the world, Chile, Pakistan, Africa, New Mexico, Canada, America, and Chile, all over the world here. I'm going to pray a prayer for Christians just in case. All right. Are we ready? Everybody. Holy Spirit, search my heart.
Holy Spirit, search my heart.
Is there any sin in me?
Is there any sin in me?
Now, everybody, just wait a minute. Give him a time to nudge you. Now, remember, it's not always what you're doing. It might be what you're not doing. You might be supposed to come on Wednesday night, and you're not. That's a sin. So don't you dare take the communion unless you're going to correct that sin. Okay, so now we're going to repent of that sin. Everybody say, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I confess this sin.
I confess this sin.
Thank it to him. He reads your mind. I repent of this sin.
I repent of this sin.
I ask forgiveness of this sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And fill me with all the fullness of you, Almighty God.
Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it.
Now, I have already blessed the bread and juice and everything here. But for all of you in cyberspace, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit will transform all of the bread into the body of Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, please transform all of the juice or water into the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, now we're going to take the body. I'm going to take the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, except you take my body and take my blood, you can have no part in my kingdom. Now we're taking the bread first, okay?
And gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat.
Now all over the world, let's take and eat the body of Jesus. Jesus took the stripes. We get the healing.
This is my body.
His body given for you.
27. And he took the cup and gave thanks.
And so now, in Jesus' name again, Holy Spirit, let that blood be transformed into the blood of Jesus. Why the blood? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and the life is in the blood.
And he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it.
All over the world, let's now drink the blood of Jesus going into you, washing you clean. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for your blood. Another gospel says to do this in remembrance of him. Lord, we remember. We remember the 39 stripes that you took, that with your stripes we are healed. We remember they pulled out your beard. We remember they put the crown of thorns on you, blindfolded you, spit upon you. Remember they stripped you naked. We remember they nailed you to a cross. And we remember, Lord, that you did this for us. Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. You died that we might live. You shed your blood that our sins might be forgiven. But we also remember, Lord, and thank you that you arose from the dead. We love you. Praise you.
28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, prophesied that he would come and be the Passover lamb. But before he came, they had to sacrifice clean animals every time they sinned. But now it's a new and better covenant. We don't have to do that anymore. Once and for all, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. No more blood is necessary for the many-membered body of Christ.
Amen.
21. But I say unto thee, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Now, when the Antichrist comes, he's about to come. Remember, he's going to look like Jesus, talk like it, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. He's going to have one more communion with the world, and half the body of Christ will have the Lord's table with him. But then he's going to stop that because he just say, I am here, I'm God, you don't need to do this anymore. Those of us in the know will continue to do this. But then shortly after that, the Antichrist time has been short for the elect's sake. The real Jesus will come, and he'll come back for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. Guess what the supper is? The body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And then Jesus' prayer in John 21 will be answered, that they may be one as we are one. When you get married, you become one. One with his body and one with his blood.
Amen. 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives.
The word hymn comes from a Greek word, hymnos. That's why I have a hymn of the month here. The real hymns are truly anointed. They were written by men and women of God, blood, sweat, and tears. They're not the baby, hey, baby, baby, hey, Jesus, Jesus, of course, as we sing today. And so that's why we use them. What was the hymn the Lamb sang at this Passover meal? It is called the Hallel Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. They are found in Psalm 115, Psalm 116, and Psalm 117. Jesus is a chief musician. I heard him sing one time when I was in trouble. He has a great voice. So the Lamb of God sing the Hallelujah songs. Psalm 115, verse 14. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. Praise the Lord. Now, praise the Lord in the Hebrew is Hallelujah. All the world, let's say Hallelujah. Ready?
Hallelujah.
The other part of the song he sang, Psalm 116, verse 19. In the courts of the Lord's house and in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Everybody say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over the world, all over the world, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Passover song. Amen. And then the rest of that hymn was Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise the Lord, all ye people. His merciful kindness is great, and his truth endureth forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pakistan, New Zealand, Africa, West and South Africa, Canada, Chile, America. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my Father, in Jesus' name, today we've planted this seed that all the world would know the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, this seed does not return void. Grow this seed until all the world receives the truth that Jesus is our Passover Lamb. Jesus is our Lord. We praise you and we bless you. And all of you in the world, I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
At this time, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing awesome after that, Miss Sherry. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome,
Amen.
Awesome. The whole world just had communion with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Your word, Lord, is eternal, and it stands firm in the heavens. Psalms 119:89.
Hallelujah. Great, Scott. That's just like Psalm 117,
yeah.
The hymn that the Lamb sang. Hallelujah. Thank you. We did not commit. The Holy Spirit did that. Great, Scott. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but now it's later than you think. The Antichrist is about to appear. His time's been short for the elect's sake. Then Jesus comes to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, the body, the blood of Jesus. So if you're not saved, get saved. Pray this with me and mean it with all your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I quit.
I quit.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I believe the precious blood of Jesus.
I believe the precious blood of Jesus
will wash away my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. That Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you out there in the world who confess that, confession is made to salvation. You're supposed to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. You'll get my voicemail. Say your name clearly and tell me that you're saved. And, of course, I will pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for the sick. I felt led today to pray for those who have bladder problems. Okay. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in Malachi chapter 4, to those who fear your name, love your name, revere your name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Lord Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, the wings are laser beams of healing virtue. So now I ask, O Lord, that the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue will go into every bladder where that bacteria has attached itself to the wall of the bladder. In the name of Jesus, bacteria be gone. Flush out there, be cleansed. Where there's any blood in the urine, let the urine be pure. Frequent urination stop. Divine order in the left kidney, in the right kidney, and in the bladder. No overaction nor inaction in the mighty name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed your bladder. With Jesus' stripes, your bladder is healed. Yes. Receive and believe. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The whole world just heard, okay. Amen. The Lord bless you all over the world. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you, world, with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and our world get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
There is a name that echoes on eternal shores with all believers who have come before. Jesus Christ, forevermore. Your love is amazing grace, never fails me. You are the saving one. You reach from the heavens, hope of the nation to you. I'm the saving one. There is
say Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
How far are you? How close am I? I know your words are true and I don't feel them inside. Still I believe you'll never leave. So where are you now? You're all I have, you're all I've known. Your breath is breathing in my soul. Still I am gasping, aching, asking. Where are you now? 'Cause I just wanna be. My journey's here, but my heart is there. So I dream and wait and keep the faith while you prepare our destiny till you come back for me. Oh, please make it soon. 'Cause I just wanna be. I just wanna be with you. just want this waiting to be over. I just want to be with you. And it helps to know the day is getting closer. I just want to be with you.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
No matter what you're dealing with in your life, it can be traced back to the presence of sin.
Dr. Tony Evans says many people who think they have lots of problems really only have one, and the Lord is ready to solve it.
Because Jesus Christ didn't come to fix symptoms, he came to fix causes.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans begins a series on the power of Jesus' names. The Bible uses several of them, and each of them tells us something significant. He starts today with one of Jesus' most familiar and most important names. Let's join him in Matthew chapter 1.
Names matter. When we speak about the name of a person, we're giving their identity away. If I would ask for Bill, then Ralph would not raise his hand. Because if that's not his name, that's not his identity. Because names are more than nomenclature. It has to do with identification. In the Bible, they really mattered. Because names were given at the earliest possible time to define the hopes and dreams of a child by their parents. So the parents would give the child a name to reflect what that child was destined to become, because names mattered. Today I want to start off with Jesus' personal name, Jesus. Now, the first thing I want you to observe is that Jesus' name was not given to him by his human mother and father. It says, heaven sent a message to Joseph and told Joseph, this is what I want you to name the baby that's not biologically yours, but the one that you will raise, and I want you to call him what his father wants him to be named. I want you to call his name Jesus. This word Jesus is his most known name. It is the name that references him even when other names are associated with him. Now, the word Jesus means savior, rescuer, or deliverer. It means a savior, a rescuer, or a deliverer. The Old Testament name for Jesus was Joshua. Joshua in the Old Testament was the one who delivered the people into the promised land and overcame the enemies in that land. So Joshua, which name in the New Testament Greek is Jesus, had to do with the person who led the way into the place of blessing and who delivered the people from the enemies that would seek to incarcerate them or hold them hostage. So when God wanted to name his only begotten son, he gave him the name of Savior or Deliverer. The primary reason why God became a man and named his son Jesus is because he wanted to rescue people from their sin. And the reason that that is the primary issue is because one of the reasons he does not rescue us from a bunch of other stuff is because we don't allow him to rescue us from the main thing. What we want is Jesus to rescue us from the peripheral, which is important, which matters, as long as he leaves the central thing alone. And what Jesus wants you to understand is if he can't deal with the central thing, then you can't be calling on him for all this other stuff. Because all this other stuff that you and I wrestle with in our day-to-day life is in some way related to sin. It either is your sin, something you've done that you shouldn't have done, where you're now having a consequence for doing it, that's one, or it's related to somebody else's sin, what they did that negatively affects you, or it can be related to a contaminated, sinful environment in which you live or work or play that's not necessarily caused by you or directly by somebody else, but just because evil has invaded the atmosphere. The flu virus has made its way around and brought a lot of health issues to a lot of people. So one reason you may have flu is that your own immune system may be weak and therefore susceptible. Another reason you can get flu is somebody sneezes in your face, you breathe it in, and their sneeze has caused your problem. But another reason you can have flu is that the atmosphere has become so toxic that simply by breathing bad air, like secondhand smoke, you just pick it up and it infiltrates you. But no matter where the flu comes from, it's rooted in the same virus. No matter what you're dealing with in your life, it can be traced back directly, indirectly, or environmentally to the presence of sin. Therefore, if Jesus Christ, whose name means Savior, and whose job description is salvific in nature, to save from sin, is not free to deal with sin, then he's also not free to fix the thing you're calling him about. But therein is the problem. We want Jesus to fix it as long as he doesn't fix that. We have a world today that calls on Jesus to fix the racial problem, to fix the social problem, to fix the economy, to fix the division in the nation, to fix my family. We call on Jesus for everything, to which God wants you to know if he can't deal with the main thing, then he may not be able to help you with all the other stuff you're calling on him for, since the root of all the other stuff you're calling on him for is directly, indirectly, or environmentally tied to sin. So whenever you call the name Jesus, you are asking him not only to deal with the fruit of your problem, but the root of its origin. And if he cannot deal with the root of its origin, then you're saying even if it goes away for a while, it's going to come back with a vengeance, because that which caused it was never allowed to be uprooted. And so people spend an inordinate amount of time and energy and the money fixing symptoms because they don't want to face sin. Now, in order to appreciate Jesus' name and the role that that name brings, one has to have an understanding about the nature of God. God lives in his perfections. Everything about God is perfect. So in terms of his standard, all sin has the same consequence. All sin has the same consequence. If you went into an operating room in a hospital, you took a handful of dirt and put it in the room in a hospital of a person who had been opened up, they would become contaminated by a handful of dirt. But let's say you just have a little bacteria on a scalpel. Bacteria you can't even see, but it's gotten on the scalpel and it cuts the person. The same contamination that came from a lot of dirt